Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, Tony.
You get those kids off to school yet?
Oh, gosh. No, she's only three, man. She's with me until 11.
Oh, I thought you had you went a little older than that.
Oh, no. I'm blessed. She's 3 years old, and is all of three. Let me tell you, they're never more energetic, I'm told, than when they're at that age.
Oh, I tell you what, trying to do broadcast anything with kids running around is always a hoot. I always like to tell the story of how Tim Stout, who I used to work with, he has three boys, and how he tried to do a radio show out of his home, and you'd hear toilets flushing in the background all the time. So we
now
know
we're just eating pancakes today.
All right. Well, let's talk some state politics. First of all, the late term abortion ban.
Yeah.
That bill goes to the governor. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, the right to life has been trying for years to put on the Michigan books a law that outlines what they call partial birth abortions. But you're right, it's a ban on late term abortions through a particular procedure called CNX or something like that, DNX, that's what it's called. And they've tried different avenues, but it always, if it ever gets signed and put into law, it's always shot down in the courts. In recent years, since a Democrat has been in office, it's gotten vetoed. And if the Republicans have control, they try and override it, they don't have the votes, and blah, blah, blah. Well, this time, they've got a Republican in the legislature, they got Republican governor, and they were able to try a different tact and say, and just kind of criminalize the procedure. If you're a doctor or anything else and perform this type of procedure, then there would be criminal penalties. And so that's their latest attempt. Now, what's called partial birth abortions have been outlawed federally already. But they argue that at the state level it needs to be done because there are no like federal marshals running around enforcing this type of thing. And so this would allow prosecutors, county prosecutors, and local police to enforce something like this if it were to occur, which statistics from the state show really never happen.
Kyle, I find it interesting that there are new ads that are playing. I happen to go online to see these claiming that Governor Rick Snyder outsourced jobs when he was the CEO of Gateway. I'm surprised that they're rearing their ugly heads again. I'm not for, not against, but kind of funny how this coincides with the governor's visit over to Asia.
Well, what they're trying to do is trying to connect a link here between China and the new international bridge crossing. If they're the ads I'm thinking about, they're the ones sponsored by the Willow Tea Party.
Yes.
Is that, yeah.
Yep.
So what they're trying to do is they're trying to link China with the Detroit International Bridge Crossing, which is just an enormous stretch. I mean, the two situations are completely different. I mean, we are talking about trying to bid out a contract to build a second bridge across the Detroit River. And the insinuation is that since Snyder is in China right now, that somehow he's working with some companies right now to be one of the ones that bid on it. You know, there's only one company, one Chinese company that... there's only one bridge in the entire United States that could be owned by a Chinese company like what they're insinuating, and that's the one that currently exists, according to Brian Calling. That's the Detroit the Ambassador Bridge. I mean, that's the one that's owned by a private company, can be owned by a private company, can be sold as such to any company that the Maroons want to. So it's just a conspiracy theory, and it's just part of the, I think, kind of misinformation campaign we've seen on this bridge.
You know, it's not a serious deal, but I find it interesting how the governor doesn't like to wear ties, but men at the Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs are urged to wear ties, dress shirts, and suits because there's a dress code. It's like I'm trying to get in my local pub and I got a hat on and jeans and they're not going to let me in.
Yeah, you know, it does. You know, you can easily and very quickly say that there is a double standard here. And I, you know, the difference is that when you're in the state bureaucracy, you know, there's a whole different set of rules that you file. And when you're the governor, when you're the CEO, you know, you can break the rules if you want. I mean, because you're the boss. And well, you know, that kind of sounds a little strange and maybe a bit hypocritical. I don't think that you have to go very far to find that in the private sector either. I mean, when you're in charge, you can do what you want.
All right, I got about 45 seconds left. What's the hottest story on the MERS website? I'm there right now.
Well, let me see. I think it's the fact that the people who tried to fire Rick Snyder, wanted to recall Rick Snyder, had about half of the signatures they needed to get that on the ballot, which I think is actually a very impressive number. I mean, when they started this campaign, no one thought they had any chance whatsoever. To get 500,000 when it's all said and done shows that for a bunch of volunteers and grassroots people, that's really not too bad.
Go to the MIRS newsletter. It's MIRSnews.com. Kyle, thanks so much.
My pleasure.